Hello, welcome back. We are here at the Microsoft Technical Summit 2016 in Darmstadt, Germany, in a beautiful venue. Hopefully you've seen the loop. We've been showing a little bit of what the venue looks like. We actually did a good job at showing that. It's really great. But I have with me a special guest, Donovan Brown. How are you doing, my friend?
Pretty good. And yourself?
Fantastic. So you just got off the keynote stage mere dozens of minutes ago.
Right? Feels like it, yeah.
So tell me a little bit about what you do, as if people didn't know, but tell us that.
So I'm a senior DevOps program manager at Microsoft. I'm responsible for the DevOps vision on top of Team Foundation Server and on top of Visual Studio Team Services. So whatever it takes to get code from the fingertips of our developers into the hands of our users is what I'm responsible for.
And so let's talk a little bit about what that means, because traditionally that meant something else, right? It meant like I have some bits that I'm writing and then I got to put them somewhere and then I got to manage some process. And I've heard DevOps a lot, and I feel, and I know you want to rub DevOps on it, but what is it, what does that actually mean, right? Like, if I'm going to go to a dev that's never done this before, and she says, look, I'm in charge of a large group of programmers, and we want to do DevOps, what would you start with? What would you tell them? Okay, let's look at this, and let's do this. What would you do?
The first thing I would see is, how are they managing their source control? And then, are they doing continuous integration already? Because that's a really good first step into building whatever it is, the packages that you deploy, so that we can then take that and automate the deployment of that into an environment. So you were saying, well, haven't we been doing this for a long time? We have been deploying software for a long time, but the majority of us deploy software manually. There's a lot of human intervention. And as soon as you add a human being, you add error.
Sure.
And what we're trying to do is find ways that we can automate as much as we possibly can, such that a developer just has to focus on developing software. They don't have to worry about how it gets built, where it gets built, when it gets built, how it gets deployed, how the configuration gets changed, how it promotes from dev to QA and QA to prod. Historically, that's been manual and very error prone. So by rubbing a little DevOps on it and starting to automate as much as you possibly can, you reduce the friction from the fingertips of the developer into the hands of the users.
So traditionally, this has been a people problem.
It still is, by the way. Even when you add the products, you still have a lot of people problems because people have a tendency not to buy into the vision of DevOps. I could sell you all the products in the world. I could define the best process for you. But if your people do not believe that this is the right thing to do, you're still going to have a lot of issues and friction.
So let's start with people change. What,
sure.
What is, like, if, like, again, a Sue Dev is in charge of 1,000 developers and she knows that they have some latency and they can only put software out once a year and it's killing her business.
Yeah, for sure.
It's killing her business. And so she's like, okay, I need to get people to buy in because people are most important. What should she start doing? Or what should she start fostering in order for people to get this DevOps movement going in their organization?
I always say that results speak louder than words.
Sure.
A lot of people try to go and convince their boss that this is a good idea. And what I tell them to do is stop asking permission to do the right thing for your company. Just go do the right thing. So what I would start doing is actually delivering more frequently smaller increments of work. As soon as you allow someone to see your software, they're going to want to change it. It's inevitable. So what Agile tries to embrace is the fact that change is coming. So let's just go ahead and design our software, our process, our practices such that we can embrace that change and not resist it like we do historically in a waterfall motion. So instead of her going off and trying to convince her CIO or CTO that DevOps is the right thing and Agile is the right thing, just start implementing it piece by piece. Start creating your continuous integration pipeline. Try automating your deployment. Try delivering smaller increments of code. I'm a firm believer that to be good at DevOps, you have to be good at Agile first, right? And you might even have heard people like Sam Guckenheimer say that DevOps is basically the next evolution of Agile, because Agile was a decade ago we started doing it, and we're doing it very seriously now, and it's just the second decade of Agile is how we're going to do it with DevOps as well.
So a dev's pretty excited, okay, I want to do this DevOps, I want to be able to just take my code and have it out faster. What are some things in the pipeline that they can tackle first that are low-hanging fruit, that are like, hey, you can do this right now, you should do this right now?
Yeah, that's why I always say start with continuous integration, right? Continuous integration, there's tons of free tools out there, Visual Studio Team Services being one of them. And it gives a lot of value for very little effort. It allows you to compile your application instantly and make sure that you don't have at least compiler errors. We've all been on a team where a developer checks in code that's broken, doesn't know it, and then when I do a get latest, now I'm over here like, why doesn't my code build anymore? And I spend time troubleshooting the fact that someone else broke the build.
Sure.
However, if that individual checked in code, and then moments later, a build failed on a build server, they could get a notification. I would have gotten a notification saying, hey, you don't want to do a get latest right now, because if you do, you'll be in the same situation that our build machine is in, which means it does not compile. So a continuous integration server gives you so much value right out of the box, and today they're a checkbox. If you want to implement continuous integration in most systems, you simply check a box and it says, okay, great, I'll wire all this up for you. And every time a developer commits code, we will go and we will build that code and make sure that the code is good, letting everyone know that it's okay. Our system is so nice that if a developer breaks the build, we'll actually assign a bug to that developer so that they can't run from it or play like it wasn't them. We track who did the commit. We see that the build failed. We create a bug and we assign it to that developer. And now wherever that developer goes, that bug is there reminding them that you need to go fix the build. Because you want them to fail fast, but you don't want them to stay broken. So that's sure.
So it feels like the baseline is you need to have source control.
Absolutely.
And that's the first.
Absolutely.
And I have had nightmare scenarios with not having source control.
And what's scary to me is how many organizations still don't.
Yeah, you should.
Yes, it should be something that is just there. It should be something that, if you are copying files and dating a folder as your version of source control, stop that yesterday. You should have stopped that yesterday. Go get some source control system. Team Services is absolutely free to get started. You can literally go to visualstudio.com right now, create an account, and start safely versioning your source control. And what's really nice is that it's going to encourage you to start creating a build definition right off of that repository. So you can start doing the right thing for free. There is literally no excuse for you to be not versioning your code in a proper source control system.
So here's the rub. Someone's going to say, hey, but yeah, but Donovan, I'm not building like your next awesome web app. I'm literally building a Battleship Gray WinForms application. This isn't for me, is it, Donovan? How would you respond?
It is for them, because we've all been there where we're working on our pet project. We go and try something aggressive, we break it, and we really wish we could go back to where it was an hour ago. Because an hour ago it was working, this was a horrible, horrible decision, and if I didn't copy it before I did this, there's no way for me to go back to that known good working place. Sure. However, if you had source control, you would have checked in and you would know that on Wednesday at 3 o'clock it was working. I can have that source control system give me the code exactly like it looked like on Wednesday at 3 o'clock, and my system will be back to working again. So it doesn't matter why you're writing the software. If you're writing software, you should be using version control. The other reason why is because if you start writing software just for the fun of it and you love it, you're probably gonna wanna make it your career. There's no one that you're gonna go work for that who shouldn't be using source control. So it's a habit and a custom and a muscle you need to build up as a developer so that you can go be a part of a team.
So the Battleship Gray developer's like, okay, I'm sold on source control, but CI for Battleship WinForms programs, do I have to do that? What do you say to that?
Do you have to do that? No, right? I think as soon as you're in a team, if you're in a team more than one person, CI is gonna be a good thing for you, right? Because you're gonna be integrating changes from several different people. If I'm the only developer, when I hit F5 on my compiler to run my code or F7 to build it, that's the entire system being built because it's only me. If it built on my machine, there is an odd chance, though, however, that it will not build on your build server.
Right.
Because what will happen is that I might have added a dependency to my application but did not update the necessary components such that someone else could build my application. And a build server will let me know that, Donovan, you just added a package, but that package isn't accessible to your build server, which means once you get a buddy of yours who gets excited and he wants to play with this too, they're going to go do a get latest and not be able to build, and you are going to wish you had source control and continuous integration for that as well. So.
And so continuous integration is something you can do for any kind of code.
If you can build it, you can run continuous integration on it.
So let's talk a little bit about sort of the process now, because we've talked about sort of the people mindset.
Sure.
And then we've given an example of someone trying to make a people change.
Sure.
Someone getting into the mindset of it doesn't matter what kind of code you write, you need source control, you need to start thinking about CI.
Yep.
And sort of really good ways of deploying your software quickly. Let's talk about sort of the process of DevOps. How do I start to get into the process, the mindset of the DevOps process?
It's continuously delivering value. How do I continuously deliver value to my end users? That means I have to increase my velocity, I have to reduce my downtime, I have to increase my quality. Doing all three of those things without some form of automation, it's chaos.
Yeah.
Because as you move faster, you usually incur more risk. More risk usually means more crashing, right? So they all go against each other. But when you have tools that will happily do the same thing for you perfectly every single time, then you're able to actually move faster yet still have high quality, because you should be exercising. The time you're spent fixing bugs that you didn't write unit tests for because you didn't have the automation in place, you get that time back now because you have automation so that you can go write the unit test you should have written.
Sure.
So that bug doesn't escape into production. So it's really important, again, it's the people. The process, we already know how to do this. The products, those already exist. But again, if the people don't believe that this is a good idea, if they don't believe the importance of doing this, then I can sell you all the products in the world, you're still gonna fail. Because they're either not gonna use them, they're not gonna use them right, they're gonna blame them for everything because they're too stubborn, arrogant, or just...
Yeah.
Yeah, to realize that you're the problem, right? Yeah. People are doing this successfully all over the world, and you need to get on board here.
So, okay, I'm on board, and I know my organization's not doing this.
Right.
As a person, I want to do this. I believe in the process. Now, how do I even start?
That's tough.
What tooling do I use? There's so many options nowadays with this kind of, it's almost like, what JavaScript library do I use? I don't know, which one came out today? We have the same kind of thing happening in the DevOps space. How do I sort of, I want to feel hugged when I'm making this change, because change is hard.
Right.
So how can you hug me, Donovan? That was awkward, but that's what I wanted to say.
Well, but the really cool thing here is that we're going through this interesting revolution when it comes to DevOps tooling. Historically, Team Foundation Server, when it first came out, was a monolithic application. You used all of it or you didn't use any of it. And there were benefits to that, because it was a nice big warm hug if you were doing .NET development, because it was everything that you needed. But if you wanted to do anything outside of the beaten path, it became very, very difficult. Some of our competition started specializing in one particular area. But to build a DevOps pipeline that way, you have to have a dozen vendors in your pipeline, which has a lot of cost involved in that. There's a tax that you pay trying to make sure that integration happens.
And just knowing all the tools.
Exactly. Learning different languages and different ways of dealing with this, different user interfaces, different funding. Like, how do I pay for each tool is slightly different as well. But by actually having a tool like Team Services, where we are now trying to give you the best of both worlds, no longer is it a monolith which you cannot dissect. It does give you everything that you need from beginning to end, yet you have the flexibility to remove any piece that you want.
Sure.
We've also changed the way that we develop it to where instead of all the team being responsible for TFS, we literally have a team just responsible for build and another one responsible just for work item tracking, such that they can innovate and keep up with competition without being hindered by anyone else in the pipeline. So we still deploy it as a unit. So if you want a big hug and please go take care of everything for me, Team Services is the best answer for that. If you want to go and say, no, I want to use Jenkins, but I really like a lot of the stuff I'm seeing in Team Services, now you can do that as well and use that build system, but use the rest of Team Services.
I see. So if you already have, like, let's just say you've already been doing some things, like you have Jenkins and you're using GitHub.
For sure.
For example, there's some gaps in your pipeline that you want to fill.
Yes.
With Visual Studio Team Services, you can say, we're telling you, bring what you have, and we'll just make it into the pipeline.
We're going to make it better.
Okay.
Exactly. So what we're going to do is we're going to be able to give you work item tracking if you're not using that. You might be using Istio and GitHub if you're using GitHub for that. But now what we have is you have your source control, you have your continuous integration, but it sounds like you're missing your continuous deployment.
Right.
Which is where we could get you release management to come in there, take the artifacts that are produced by Jenkins, and then move those artifacts through dev, QA, and prod for you, regardless if it's an Azure, AWS, Bluemix, or on-premise. So that's where we're going to be able to add value to that. Another thing that we could do is if you're using GitHub for private, what I would recommend our customers do is stop using GitHub for private because you have to pay for them and start using Team Services because we give you the exact same Git support for free, right? We give you unlimited private repos. Still use Jenkins, fine, but just point Jenkins to our Git repo. And then what you're going to do is get a little bit more traceability because that release will then be able to tie back to the actual source code that actually produced that particular release. So that traceability that we give you from Team Services is unparalleled. When you're using a lot of different vendors to build your pipeline, it becomes difficult to get the traceability that you can get when one vendor gives you every piece of that pipeline. But I have to be very careful when I say that. Numerous times I've gone off and said, Visual Studio is everything that you need to turn an idea into a working piece of software. And I immediately get people recoil saying, oh my God, vendor lock-in, this will never work. I'm like, first of all, it's been working for over a decade, right? So that's nonsense. But you're not locked in, and I need to make that very, very clear. Every piece of our system can be replaced with a tool of your choice, but then you start to pay that tax for that additional integration. Team Services has REST APIs, service hooks, service endpoints, and a .NET API that you can expose and exploit any way that you want to integrate it inside your tool chain. But you have to take on that tax, right? We don't do that for you. When you use everything, we upgrade it for you, we stitch it all together, they all talk, and the traceability is unparalleled.
That's amazing. And the last piece of software that I wrote that's still deployed, they call me like every couple of years, right? And they're like, hey, we want to do this. And I'm just like, I wish I would have been smarter about how I deliver value.
Right. Right.
Right. And I wish I had this pipeline where everything's checked in if they want to change. Because I wrote this like by myself like 8 years ago.
Right.
And then you do file new, and then you make the binaries, and you give them a zip file, and you tell them to put. And it's just, it's not the right way, people.
It's not. And it's what's not interesting right is that the fact that you say they call you every couple of years and every year you sigh means that you still haven't done anything about it.
No.
Which is interesting because what I've noticed is a lot of customers find that deployment is painful, so instead of doing it more often, they do it less often.
Right.
But since you only have to do it once every year, you're thinking, do I really want to spend the time investing in source control and a CI pipeline and a CV pipeline?
I kind of do.
Because I only do it once a year. So yeah, once a year it's a pain in my butt, but the rest of the year it's summer, right? So why am I going to go invest in that? And the reason why is because you would that the next year when it comes around, it's no longer a, oh my God, it's like, oh sure, no problem. Let me go get the latest version, make that quick code change, check it in, and you'll get an email in a moment from my system saying it's ready for you to download, and you go back to the beach.
Yeah,
right?
And it's just like, I just want, like, I seriously just want them to have a button that says update me, and or it just says there's a new update. You know,
sure.
I feel like because of the decisions I made earlier, I kind of locked myself in. And what you're telling me is that with Visual Studio Team Services, I can reverse that.
So what we can do is that if for example, your application isn't a click once application that actually knows how to identify that there's been an update, then that's not just magically going to happen because you use Team Services.
Right.
What we would be able to do is make the acquiring the version that they have on your development environment such that you can work on it, the compilation and the deployment of that, so maybe zipping it up into a package, dropping it on OneDrive, and even sending an email to them saying, hey, there's an update for you to go get, that we can actually automate for you. To get the app itself to say, hey, there's a new version of me, then if you're doing mobile, you have to do something like Hockey App. If you're not doing mobile, you have to do something like
Squirrel,
Click Once.
For example,
or Click
Squirrel.
Once or something like that, exactly.
And I understand that part. I just wish, like, here's a horror story, and you're going to, he's going to give me the stink eye for this, okay? I'm telling you, this was a horrible thing, and I'm ashamed of myself. I was writing some code without version control. Give me that. Okay, I need that. And it was the last deploy I was going to do before I released a package to these people. And I literally, on the build tool that builds the binaries for me, I put the wrong, like, folder in it, and it blew away all my code.
Yep. It's that sinking feeling in your stomach. So I've lost code before too.
Yes.
And it's the
Don't
sickest
try to
feeling.
Make me feel better,
no,
okay?
No, it's not. You're not alone, but you were still ridiculously.
Thank you.
Okay, it was ridiculous. Yeah, it was ridiculous. I don't want to say anything too bad, but it was ridiculous.
I've got source control ever since. It's been like a decade.
Exactly, right? But it's a sick feeling when you lose code like that, right? It's just like you feel helpless. Luckily, it's usually easier to write the second time because it's fresh in your mind, but it's still painful to lose code. So source control would have protected you from that. Right?
Well, and not only that, but now when there's a change that I want to deliver and when there's value, because I might they come to me every couple of years and they're like, hey, can you do this? But I've had ideas every couple of months of how I could give them more value.
Sure.
Right? And,
sure.
And if I had this sort of thing set up, then it would be a lot better. So now hopefully we have about probably 10-15 minutes. Can you show me some of the stuff that I could do? Let's just say I have code in a folder that's the latest date. What can I do now with Visual Studio Team Services to get this thing going on? And let's pretend it's a web app.
Okay, great. So let's say, for example, you could go to visualstudio.com right now. Mm-hmm. Anyone can do this. It's absolutely free. You create an account. I have one here that's called mydemos.visualstudio.com. First thing that you're going to want to do is create what we call a team project. So if you click on new here, what it's going to do is basically ask me some questions about what type of project is it that you want to create. You give it a name and a description. So this would be Seth's web app.
My FUBAR web app that
there
I
you
should
go.
Have put
exactly.
into source control. That's my long name.
And if you're on a team, your team might be running an Agile project, a Scrum project, or maybe CMMI. CMMI is for more of a traditional waterfall organization. I'm not here to say waterfall can't work for you. Depending on what it is that you're doing, it
Come
can actually.
On, my eyebrow went up.
No, but think about it, right? The reason that waterfall failed so much is because the target was moving.
Right.
If the target is fixed, and in some scenarios the target is fixed, then you could actually probably be modicly successful with CMMI.
The target is fixed. I think
very rare, though.
I think software engineering is the only discipline where, like, let's just say we built bridges, where they would come to us when the bridge is half-built and say, hey, we actually need the bridge upside down.
Right,
like,
right.
Like a civil engineer would be like, you're crazy.
Right.
We have to be like, oh, okay.
Sure, that'll
work.
And
then we
work.
Have to go in the back
and figure out how to
update it. And then figure out how to make it work, right?
Exactly.
So change is constant, and so
Sure, sure. So what I like about our tool set here is that we don't force you down one pattern of development.
Right.
Some teams are agile, which is more general. Some people are very specifically Scrum, and our tool understands that. And some people aren't ready for agile. And we want to be there.
We want to be there
for everyone. So if you're Waterfall, you choose CMMI. If you're agile, go ahead. If you're specifically Scrum, you can use Scrum as well. Another thing that's very unique about ours is we've been talking about source control quite a bit.
Right.
Now, if you're as old as I am, source control was always check-in, check-out,
yeah.
Centralized was a piece of cake.
Yeah.
We still offer that, right? So that's what we call Team Foundation Version Control. And that's your traditional check-in, check-out, get latest kind of metaphor. Git has become extremely popular,
sure.
Right? I mean, it's ridiculously popular. And we offer that as well, which is really important. So it doesn't matter if you want centralized or distributed version control, we offer you both. And I'm not sure of any other vendor that actually offers you both. They either give you one or the other. We give you both, and you can even combine them in the same project if you wanted to. We'll stick with Git because it's popular. And then obviously I have the visibility. We only want it for our team members. And I'm just going to go ahead and just say this demo. And then I simply click on Create. So what Team Services is doing in the back end now is it's creating a project for me. It's creating that Git repo that I asked for. It's making sure that I have all the facilities in place for me to do continuous integration and continuous deployment. I can do all my work item or agile planning. So I'll create work items. I'll be able to create sprints and iterations. I create bugs, tasks that I want to go perform, and I'll be able to track all of my work. Now, sometimes that's overkill for an individual person, but it's there for you to utilize. And once you get into a team, it becomes a lot more
But the thing about this is like the hope is that you're not going to be the only person
Correct.
Working on this eventually. And
Correct.
So let's plan for growth. And it's already free.
And it's already built
yeah,
in. And another thing that's really good about it, even as an individual, because I have a lot of side projects as well,
sure.
is that I don't have the time to get to it immediately, and I don't want to forget. I just go add a work item. Don't forget to go do this. It's
sure.
almost like a little reminder. And then I can talk to my customer about what they want, flesh that out, so that when I do have time to go get to it, inside of Team Services is a work item. This is exactly what I'm supposed to go off and do. So
nice.
It's already created one for us. And then what's going to happen is it's going to bring me into that particular project and allow me to start using it. This is a dashboard. Again, this would be really valuable for a team. Sort of like where I can go and get a heads-up display of all the different things that my team is going to be working on. I can put build output there, release output, app insights, all kinds of cool
so
metrics.
So I can do whatever
like
I want.
You can completely customize this by simply coming down here in the right-hand corner and adding additional widgets to it that you can get from our marketplace where we have lots of different vendors there as well. We obviously have a code area, which is where you would actually put in your source code. And what we do here is we support you being able to get your code on a Mac, Linux, or a PC. It's just Git, right? So we don't want to dictate that you be on a PC to be able to use Team Services.
Right.
So we basically give you all the different ways that you can actually go down and start getting your source control. If you are using Visual Studio, we'll fire up Visual Studio for you and automatically wire in your source control for you as well. This is where you would actually manage those bugs and tasks. And this is a nice Kanban board, which can be highly customized.
And the Kanban board is for Agile, the Agile template. Or does it also do the Scrum template?
Good question. So we actually offer the Kanban board for all the templates.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so
awesome.
No matter which template you choose, you will have access to a Kanban
awesome.
Board. And it's highly customizable, so you can change the columns. Matter of fact, I just recorded a show for Visual Studio Toolbox that I think is coming out today, where I had the product manager for the Kanban board come on the show.
That's awesome.
So there's a great demo of that there as well.
We'll make sure to put that on the front page for you guys.
Awesome. I appreciate that. And then obviously we have our build system. Our build system since 2015 is drastically different, and in a good way. Historically, our build system is really good if you were doing plain vanilla .NET development, but obviously people are doing Java, Node.js,
right.
Python, mobile. The world's
I see
a different pace.
Xcode up there too.
Already. Because even though we own Xamarin, a lot of our customers had already started down the path of mobile before Xamarin existed, and they have an investment in Xcode. Others actually were doing Android development without Xamarin as well. We don't want to exclude anyone. So no matter how you're doing your mobile development, you can be using Xamarin, you could be using Cordova, you might be using Apache, you might be using Android Studio, or you might be using Xcode, that's fine. You're already bought in on Xamarin, we got you covered in Xamarin
right.
as well. If you're a Java developer, look at that. We have Grado, we have Maven, we have Ant. We're literally trying to make sure that everyone understands that right out of the box, you can build pretty much any language that you want. We have agents, which are the part of the code that actually do the heavy lifting during your build.
Mm-hmm.
We have them running both on Windows machines and Linux machines in the cloud for you already. You don't have to install anything to start building your code. Just check it in, define a build, and we have templates. So let's say, for example, you said you wanted it to be a web app. So
yeah.
I would click on this one. And now it's going to say, where do we want me to go get your code from, and which build agents do you want me to use? So the hosted ones are the ones we give you for free. The other ones here, like default, is one that I built myself. I spun up some big machines in Azure, installed some agents on there, and those machines are just sitting there waiting to do my builds for me. You saw me in the Scott Goo demo yesterday. Scott gets his own pool of machines.
Yeah, of course, just
that, exactly, that he gets to play with. And then obviously I've installed them on Linux, I've installed them on Macs because it runs everywhere.
Sure.
Once you choose this, you simply go back in and you create your build definition. And now it's going to be pre-populated with all of the tasks that you need. So you don't even need to know how to build it. Just answer the few questions, and then you get the build definition that you want. Once your build is done, you can then take this over into release management. And release management is like the sibling of build that will take what you produced in your build.
Like the artifacts.
Exactly. Okay. And start deploying those for you throughout your environment. And just like we did before, we have the exact same workflow for you to be able to choose a template of what type of application am I building, where do I intend for it to go, and we'll create all the tasks for you and help you seamlessly deploy it all the way into Azure for you.
And Don, this is much nicer. Okay, so look, because we're fun, we know each other, right? When I used TFS back in the day, it's like, okay, everybody, we're gonna install the update to TFS. Everyone clear your calendars for the second week of February,
right?
Because that's where we're gonna install it on Monday,
right?
And then we're gonna figure out what's broken on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday we're gonna figure out what we broke on Tuesday that made it break on Monday but made it fix on Tuesday,
right?
And then on Friday we're gonna hope to have all our code.
And you had to hire someone to come do the upgrade for you.
I mean, so that was my original experience. This feels, I'm going to say it weird, but it feels more light and airy, right?
Yes, because what I'm showing you here is Team Services, which is a SaaS-based offering of TFS.
Got it.
We still offer TFS, and everything that you just said about TFS is still somewhat true.
Sure.
You have to kind of get code frozen and get people off the server so they can go upgrade the server. And we upgrade it every 3 months. The upgrade is much easier than it used to be, but those things still apply. Right. Using Team Services, we deal with all of that for you.
Right.
We upgrade it for you every 3 weeks. You don't have to be code frozen. You don't have to stop what you're doing. We just seamlessly and magically deploy that stuff out.
That's the one
exactly. I tell everybody,
I'll
it's everything
you.
That you know and love about Team Services, I mean by TFS, but none of the stuff that you hate.
Right.
It's everything that you love, none of the stuff that you hate.
Got
and
it.
We host it for you for free in the cloud.
And so it looks like the way I see this thing going, and we'll look at the test in a second, is you've literally put, this is where you code. This is the stuff we have to do. This is the artifacts and where you put them. And then this is where you test.
Exactly. So the test tab is where you're going to be able to do, if you're still using a traditional QA organization that wants to go off and write their test plans and their manual test cases, this is where they'll be able to actually go back in and define their test plans, their manual tests that they're going to run against your code while we're deploying it through the pipeline. Be able to then associate these tests to the actual requirement work item that we're actually working on. So there's this beautiful traceability of the acceptance criteria for this requirement are these manual tests which the team is going to run against your code.
Sure.
So the developer can be seeing that while they're developing and make sure that they're actually writing the right code to solve the right problem.
Right.
And it actually speeds up your velocity.
Of course.
Because so many times we'll send code over to the QA who has no idea what they're getting, and now what they have to do is then go write the test and then go try to execute the test. This way they can have the test written ahead of time. We can have a better idea of what it's going to take to test it so that when we say we're done with something, it's not code complete. It is actually tested and ready to be deployed.
That's awesome, man. I'm a fan of like automatic testing myself.
Absolutely. Automation testing is extremely, extremely important. We actually offer that for you too through load testing, performance testing, Coded UI, Selenium. You name a testing framework, we can actually run that for you as part of our build and as part of our release.
Are the build agents running those tests?
Yeah, they can be. Okay. Yeah, it depends. So if you're doing a cloud-based load test using Azure, then all we're doing is say, hey, Azure, go generate a lot of load and beat this little website up, and Azure's doing the most of the heavy lifting in that scenario. But if you're doing Selenium test where you're wanting to fire up IE or Firefox or Chrome and touch a website, the agent can actually fire itself up, go fire up those browsers, run the test for you, and then report the results back to our build and our release.
Wow, that's amazing.
It is amazing. And people are like, man, that guy really likes his job. He's really excited on stage. Yeah, because this stuff is amazing. What we can actually do today is incredible.
So to get started, it's literally go to visualstudio.com?
Yep, go to visualstudio.com and just go ahead and, actually I can go there now. You go to visualstudio.com and it's right here. Get started for free.
And my understanding is, to be clear, is that you can start with a team of 5 for free.
Yeah, okay, that's a good question. So the first 5 individuals that do not have an MSDN are absolutely free. If you have an MSDN, you're always free.
So you people might already have this thing that you're not using.
Exactly, okay. Exactly. So I want to make sure people are clear of that. I have an MSDN. So when I fire up in a new account, I have five other guys that I can add.
Sure.
But I usually add buddies of mine who also have MSDN. So I have five non-MSDN licenses still sitting out in the cloud waiting for me to give to people who are not MSDN developers. So that's a really important when you're a Java developer or a Node developer who might not have Visual Studio, might not have an MSDN. You and five or four of your buddies can still get on here for free
sure.
and actually start working on a project together.
And it allows for you to collaborate with other people as well.
Absolutely. This integrates with Microsoft Teams as well, because the Kanban board I showed you can actually show up in Microsoft Teams as its own screen.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really incredible stuff.
Well, you have converted me, my friend. Thanks
awesome.
So much for spending some time with us.
My pleasure.
Hopefully we'll do some more demos. We'll build some cruddy app together and
sure.
show the process through that. And I know you do that in your talks.
I do. Yeah, it's pretty simple.
People pick the platform and the code. It's really cool.
It was unbelievable. We had over 4,000 people vote today, so the stream must be working really well.
Maybe. Those, we hope so.
Yeah, those are the largest numbers we'd ever seen.
Well, thanks so much for
my
spending
pleasure.
Some time with us. We've been learning all about DevOps and how you can do it with Visual Studio Team Services right now for free. Just go to visualstudio.com and click on the link there. Thanks so much for watching, and we're going to see you on the flip side.